Hi, I'm Caroline, a yoga teacher with a special interest in menopause based in Edinburgh.
And hi, I'm Dr. Claire, a GP with a special interest in the menopause based in North London.
Together, we are the Menopause Sisters, and we are here to guide and support you through your menopause journey.
Hi, welcome to the Menopause Sisters UK Health Radio with myself, Dr. Claire, and my sister Caroline. And we are delighted today to welcome Kathy Abernathy onto the show. And we are very excited about this because Kathy has really great, extensive knowledge of, as a menopause specialist. And she's regularly seen women who are perimenopausal and menopausal and advising them on all issues relating to their menopause health. She's also an independent prescriber and an immediate past chair of the British Menopause Society, which is the professional society in the UK for healthcare practitioners. Kathy also regularly speaks to medics and other healthcare professionals, and she's also, interestingly, the author of Menopause, The One-Stop Guide, a book for women, which helps women make informed decisions about all aspects of their menopausal health. And I know Caroline has got something to say about that, but welcome, Kathy. Thank you so much for joining us today on the show. We're really excited and really grateful for you coming on.
Thank you very much for having me. It's very good to be here.
Kathy, yeah, I am a big fan of your book. I have to say, it's just for me, it just covers everything. And I was really, really pleased to see when I first got it. You've got the two chapters, particularly one around young menopause for women who do go through at a younger age, and also for women who have had cancer as well, because there's so many questions around that. So I actually now take it to all my menopause yoga classes and have it out and say, this is the book. This is the book you need to get, because actually it just covers everything and every question. So yeah, just a huge shout out for your book. I thought we would begin with actually the Calms, Lavender and Anxiety UK survey that they did on menopausal and perimenopausal women. There was a really interesting statistic there, with 53% of the women they spoke to were unaware that anxiety is a symptom of the menopause. And I know Claire's talked many times about the patient she sees suffering with anxiety, but I just wondered why that is, again, such a taboo, such an enigma for women.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that, I have to say. It reflects my clinical practice as well. Like Claire, it's what women tell me when I see them in clinics and when I listen to them. But what is surprising is that women will get these feelings of anxiety sometimes out of the blue. You know, they don't know where it's come from. They can't relate it to their hormones. And so they're not expecting it. You know, they don't expect it to happen in midlife when it's not happened before. And they don't appreciate that it's the hormonal changes which can actually be influencing that. So what happens when you start to get these feelings of anxiety? Well, you get more anxious, you get more worried because you start to worry that there's something seriously wrong with you. And you go round in this cycle where your anxiety never actually improves and you're not quite sure where to go.
It's almost like a vicious circle, isn't it? And I know we've spoken to various clients between us about this, and it can start as such a small thing, that uncertainty of, I know I found a few years ago, I just wasn't as confident as driving at night time, for example. Something as little as that, where I've always loved to drive, I've always really enjoyed driving, and suddenly there was this uncertainty that crept out of almost nowhere. And it's how that grows, isn't it?
It is, and that's a good example. And others that I've heard people talking about is not being able to travel by tube when they've been fine doing that all their life, or not being able to drive on motorways when they've been fine driving on motorways, as well as not driving at night is a typical one as well. And as you say, once you start to have one or two episodes like that, it starts to undermine your own confidence and you start to get a bit fearful as to whether it's going to happen again.
Yeah, and I think that's the sort of roller coaster of a ride, isn't it, of the menopause, is that you don't normally, and well, you don't, I think many women don't attribute anxiety as a symptom, or certainly the whole host of psychological symptoms, but particularly anxiety as related to the menopause. I know that I've spoken to a woman today who was incredibly anxious and perimenopausal, as it turned out. And she just, you know, perimenopause wasn't on her radar. And I suppose, I guess that we've got quite a lot of work to do, haven't we, to try and incorporate the psychological symptoms of the menopause out there and make sure that more women know. But actually, women more than men are likely to suffer anxiety. And Carol and I was talking about, we're talking about this before, and we're wondering, are more women likely to suffer anxiety? Are they more likely to be diagnosed with anxiety because they're more likely to go to their doctor than men? Or is there more to it? And I wondered what the connection for you is between the menopause and anxiety, specifically obviously for women, because we're talking about that group of people.
You're right that, you know, people don't recognize anxiety, and along with that goes the brain fog, the memory problems, of the concentration issues. Those are all things which creep up on you. They don't necessarily start with flushes and sweats, so you may not even realise that it's due to the menopause. Flushes and sweats, most of us can recognise. You start waking in the night, you say, yeah, that's my hormones. But you have those other symptoms, the psychological symptoms or the emotional type symptoms. And if you've not seen a change in your period yet, and you've not yet started flushes and sweats, then how are you supposed to know that that is due to your hormones? And yes, you're right, women do experience anxiety a little bit more frequently than men. Do they access GPs a bit more? Maybe they do, because they've got more points of access. You know, they're going for their contraception. They've taken their kids sometimes. They're doing other things that they're going to their GP for. Whereas men tend to stay away from the GP practices. That's a whole different topic that we need to address another time. So yes, maybe they are presenting more. But those hormones, as well as having the estrogen changes, they're affecting the serotonin levels in the brain. And it's the serotonin changing which seems to affect the moods. So that includes things like low mood, clinical depression type symptoms, not necessarily actual clinical depression, but that low mood, fluctuating mood. And alongside that comes the anxiety as well, because the neurotransmitters are just not functioning. They're not charging as effectively as they should. And that can be a direct response to the changing estrogen levels. And we know that estrogen levels fluctuate so widely in the perimenopause. Sometimes months or even years before you see any change in your period.
I often quote Dr. Lisa Moscone. She's got that lovely quote around around estrogen being the conductor of the brain, of the female brain. And actually, once we sort of understand that, there's an understanding of what you were just explaining, Kathy, you know, the neurotransmitters and everything just not quite firing in line, as it were, and as it used to be. And I think it's really hard, because actually, as we come through perimenopause and menopause, we're often reaching a stage in our life, for those that do reach that stage around midlife in their 40s and 50s, where we feel perhaps okay with where we are, not always particularly, I'm not so talking about happiness or where we are, but we kind of know ourselves, that understanding of, well, I know what I like to eat and I feel confident driving at night, or I know how to get there or do this. There are certain elements to our lives that we feel confident in often, and suddenly this uncertainty creeps in, and as you say, it can just begin to spiral quite a lot. HRT is an obvious solution. Can you maybe tell us a little bit more about how HRT can help menopausal anxiety?
Yeah, so as well as improving the serotonin levels directly in the brain, HRT will improve the fluctuating levels. So it will flatten out the levels which are rising and falling around the time of the perimenopause. So if you go onto HRT, you're not getting super high levels of estrogen, but you're just getting enough to just keep you a little bit stable. And that seems to settle the serotonin and the neurotransmitters, put them back to proper conductivity again, so that it evens out a bit. It's not the answer for everyone, and some people will need other support as well as HRT. But if your symptoms are part of a cluster, so your anxiety is not alone, you've also got brain fog, memory problems, maybe the odd flush, then it's quite likely that this is menopause related. So hormone replacement therapy is certainly one option.
And it's joining up the dots as well, isn't it? As you were just saying, there's three or four symptoms there. It's more than one symptom often, and we're not always confident in joining up those dots. So somehow tracking what's happening for you, whether that's writing things down, we often talk about journaling, or using an app to track your symptoms, can be really, really helpful.
Yeah, I think that's true. And also, if you're in a relationship or a family situation where people can support you as well, and help you to assess your progress as you're going through your perimenopause, I think that can really help too.
And I was just wondering, you know, we wanted to come on to kind of alternative treatments and help and support in a moment, but I'm just wondering, why do you think it is that more women aren't accessing support for their anxiety? I mean, I know a lot of women do, but I wondered why. It seems the menopause itself is still a bit of a taboo subject, but particularly menopausal anxiety and the psychological aspects of menopause are still very much taboo. And I just wondered why you felt that might be the case.
I think that sometimes women are fearful that they're going to be labelled. So they're going to be labelled as slightly neurotic or slightly anxious or depressed. And time again, I hear people saying to me, I'm not depressed, I'm not anxious, but I have these feelings of anxiety, which is not the same thing necessarily. Because other times of the month or other times of the day and night, I can be absolutely fine. And I just get these waves when I feel quite anxious for no apparent reason. So they're worried about seeking help because they don't want to be labelled. But secondly, you know, they don't really know where to go for treatment. Do you go to your GP for treatment if you don't want HRT? Do you go to the local health store? And where on earth do you start on those shelves? It's very difficult to know where to go. So sometimes women just tend to hide away and actually not do very much at all.
Yeah, and it's really understandable, isn't it? You mentioned there that just going to a health food shop, and I remember going into one recently because I had a woman that had presented me with a whole host of their supplements that they were taking, and I remember thinking, well, I'm just going to go in and see what's on offer. And I was so befuddled by it all. You know, I'm a Western medicine doctor, but yet I had this array of menopausal supplements on a shelf for me. And I was like, how do women make that decision? Because we know that access to GPs is quite difficult. So if they can't access their GP, they're left with very little option. And that's where they turn to. How do you know what to choose? How do you know what to do?
I think part of it is turning to reputable information sites, so places that you know have been vetted and checked for their accuracy. Ask yourself as well, is it in line with the evidence? So, for example, we know from the Calms and Anxiety Survey that there is evidence around Calms Lavender supplements and also other supplements which you might want to use, not just for anxiety, but is it a standardised dose? Has it been licensed for the use that it's being given for? If it's a herb, it will have a stamp of MHRA approval, the herbal medicines. If it's a supplement, it won't. That's a different category. But, you know, does it do what it says on the packet? Is it licensed for that? And is it standardised dose? And buy it from a reputable store as well. You know, go to somewhere which is European and UK approved.
And it's worth mentioning there, if you are going to take supplements, whether they're herbal or natural remedies, you're taking any other medication for underlying health conditions, you know, always to speak to your healthcare professional or GP just to check any contraindications.
Yes, and it's true, isn't it, that sometimes people think that because it's labelled as natural, it must be as safe. But there are sometimes some very real interactions with some of these very strong herbs and supplements.
Yeah, they can be incredibly potent and work really well, but just not work very well with the medication you're already on. We'll take a pause there and we'll come back after this break.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears. Beef and Skittles. Cider with Rosie. Common or garden. Ant and Deck, Fish and Chips, Mum and Dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle Magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the Menopause Sisters show. We are talking to Kathy Abernethy, which there's a wealth of information there, Kathy, with you. And we were talking about herbal supplements and lavender as well, actually, and lavender oil. And it's one of the few that has been proven to work. And it's one that I like to use in a diffuser. So you could use it as an oil in the diffuser, but also obviously take a supplement. And it's interesting that Calms have created a capsule to take. I quite like the idea of that. Going back to herbal supplements and natural remedies, are there any other that you recommend as a practitioner that women try or take for anxiety?
I think for anxiety, I do usually recommend the Calms Lavender capsules. I think the lavender sprays and the lavender oils are really nice as an aromatherapy type treatment, and they can help you feel relaxed. Whereas the studies show that the capsules actually have an effect and a bit more physiological effect. So that's what I would recommend for that. I think as well, we have to think about the therapeutic side. So for me as a nurse, that means looking at things like stress reduction, cognitive approach, relaxation, and just asking yourself, are there things that are triggering those feelings of anxiety? And if you can preempt those feelings and preempt those actions, sometimes you can manage your anxiety very well that way too.
There's a book that I'd read, Drop the Ball, last year, and actually it was very much around letting a few things go. What can you take off your plate that is perhaps adding to the stress, which could also add to anxiety, and making that list and just working out what is absolutely essential, you know, whether that's cooking dinner for the family one night a week, maybe there's an option to let that go, or there's something that's you're finding quite stressful at work and is creating some anxiety. Is there a way you can have a conversation with your line manager or somebody within your team and just say, actually, I just need to step back here and take a little bit of time out or lessen the load? I know you do speak to professionals and workplaces as such and companies and go in and advise them. Is there anything in particular you take in or advise workplaces and companies to help support menopause women in the workplace?
Yes, it's interesting. I mean, if we think that menopause is a taboo topic in the general population, and that is definitely improving, I think if there is any place where it is still taboo, it's at the workplace, where lots of people don't want to talk about it. And they may joke about the flushes and sweats. That might be quite open, and you'll get groups of women having a laugh together about their flushes and sweats. Not that that's necessarily positive either, but that does happen. But the anxiety, those mood changes, irritability, even tearfulness, sometimes those things tend to get hidden at work. We feel as if we can't talk about them. We don't want to be honest about them to our peers, and certainly not to our managers, because we are concerned that it's going to affect our chance of promotion or to the work that we're doing and that we might be penalised. So sadly, surveys do show that it's easier sometimes to take time off work and go absent than it is to actually address the issue in the workplace. And I feel very strongly that we should be addressing it. So that means raising the conversation. It means companies and organisations actually putting it on their agenda, having menopause cafes or peer support groups, things where people can access the help that they need, both informally, but also more formally. So some organisations now are putting in some excellent resources to tangibly help their female staff as well. As far as anxiety is concerned, I think it's really important, because if you start to get anxious about your work, you start to doubt yourself. You start to wonder if you can really do this job that you've been doing for so long. What happens then? You either step down, you reduce your hours, sometimes you don't go for that promotion that needs to be done, and we lose senior women in the workplace. And we're trying to maintain senior women, not lose them. And that has personal ramifications, because if you step out of your work or you step down, that has impact on your pension. And we know that men at the moment pay into their pensions much longer than women. Why should menopause be another penalty?
I think that's really, it's really true, isn't it? That women are giving up their jobs. You know, they reach this peak of their career, or they could be going further. And actually that loss of confidence is so overwhelming that rather than tackle what could be causing it, and for many women they don't know what's causing it, but rather than tackle what could be causing it, they stop working. And you know, actually that's really sad. I met a woman recently who was a mental health nurse and had given up work 10 years prior to me seeing her, because her main reasons were loss of confidence and anxiety. And with the menopause being talked about a lot more, she had come to realization actually she was perimenopausal at the time, and that just became a steamroller of events, and she just couldn't carry on. But I, you know, obviously Caroline and I are very keen on thinking about menopause holistically and trying to tackle it from all aspects rather than just a medicinal point of view. But so I, as a Western medicine doctor, was really keen to hear about the calms and the lavender oil, because it's not something that I have ever come across. It's not something that or when I asked my colleagues at work, had really come across. So I wondered if you could tell us a bit more about calms and how lavender might help, because that's a really simple natural remedy that is open to everybody, presumably.
Yes, it's a very low risk supplement. Most people can take it. There's very few people that couldn't use it if they wanted to. And it's interesting because the companies have actually done their research on this. So it's not just an ad hoc, shall I take it or shan't I? It really has been widely researched as being safe and effective. And it's even been compared with traditional medicines, if you like, antidepressant type medication, which is often given for anxiety. And in severe cases, it's true that you may well need a conventional medicine. But if you're experiencing quite mild anxiety and you want that natural approach, then when you're taking something like Calm's lavender supplements, you can be sure that it is a safe and effective supplement, and it's certainly worth try. And in their study, 70% of women found it was improved or very much improved. So, you know, you couldn't really ask more than that from a supplement.
And the key, I think the key there, Kathy, as well, is that it's evidence-based. You know, we talk about evidence-based, obviously, when it comes to HRT, for example, when we're talking about the lavender oil as well. And there are other sort of herbal remedies that are evidence-based to help other symptoms. Cognitive behavioural therapy is another possibility. We know yoga can really help and breath work. So there's a plethora or, a connection there with lots of different approaches that can help women. And actually, it's just making sure the information is there, for example, in your book, but also on reputable websites as well. And we like to suggest that women try and arm themselves or do a little bit of reading or perhaps listening to podcasts like this show to find out as much as they can around what can actually help them, because it doesn't have to be a one size fits all. And obviously it's not. The NICE guidelines state that every woman should be treated as an individual, but there isn't just one thing that's going to necessarily relieve anxiety or other symptoms, is there?
No, and it may well be actually as you go through the menopause. I mean, we talk about the menopause as being the last menstrual period, it's a single event, but actually the perimenopause is much more of a journey. It's a transition, and that can last for months or even a few years for some women. And it may be that you need one supplement at one stage and a different supplement at a different stage. Maybe you need HRT at one point. So it really is addressing the symptoms that you've got and the most effective way of addressing them. And I always say to those who are thinking of buying supplements, you know, buy something which is evidence-based and buy something which has got something tangible in it. So it's a standardized supplement rather than something that's just got a lot of little things, but not really enough of anything tangible.
I openly talk about starting HRT about 6 months ago now, and using the estrogen gel and utrogestin as the progesterone component, as I still have a womb. And I was quite amazed, actually, because I feel I'm a confident woman. I feel quite happy with where I'm at, I suppose, in my life. I'm 45. But actually, what I noticed with taking HRT was a slow alleviation of a kind of low mood, which I was completely unaware of, actually. I'm going to be really, really honest. It was almost like I got my spring back, my kind of that spring in my step. And I know other women have talked about that as well. And obviously, as a yoga teacher, I'm able to use my breath work and yoga practice to help me with that. But we like to suggest that women have all the information so they can make that informed decision, because as you say, it isn't just one thing that's necessarily going to help you all the way through this journey.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I think what's really important, and what I've was highlighted hearing you speak, Kathy, is that the idea that there's not a one size fits all in terms of any of the things we've discussed, but also B, that as your symptoms change, you're going to need to adapt your treatment. And I think this is where having either a general practitioner, if you're in the UK, or primary care physician, or someone to talk to about your symptoms and being open about your symptoms, and that other person being receptive to what you're saying is so important, isn't it? Because as your symptoms change, your needs will change. And that could be, like you say, that could be HRT for one woman, it could be an alternative, and there is so much out there that can help. I mean, I was reading about some of the clinical trials for calms, and I was amazed that the benefit could be, you could feel the benefit in sort of as little as 10 days to 2 weeks, really, for some of the symptoms, anxiety. And I guess for you, that, and as a practicing clinician, that's also something that I imagine is, you know, you grab hold of as an evidence-based treatment for the women that you see.
Definitely. And it's there in my armoury, if you like, of options for people as they go through the menopause. And for me, as we've highlighted, it's not a one size fits all. So, you know, give something a try. Try something else if necessary, but go for those evidence-based treatments. Don't spend your money on things that have no evidence around them. And be open, be willing to try different things. I think you mentioned as well about the fact that sometimes talking about your symptoms and having somebody who can really explain to you what's going on, I think that is key. And certainly at PEPI, where we support people going through menopause through a digital app, but using a nurse-led service, we have found that menopause symptoms can be greatly reduced by simply support, advice and information. You know, just empowering women to be able to make their own choices reduces the severity of their symptoms, even without necessarily taking anything. And then they start taking things as well that we've recommended, and they start to see rapid improvement. But, you know, when you're lost in this mix of perimenopause, firstly, you don't always recognise it, so it creeps up on you. Secondly, you start to get anxious about it. You know, what can I do? What's wrong with me? You don't know where to turn. There's so much bad advice on Google sometimes. Where do you turn? And then finally, if you do get help, especially if you've got a really supportive GP here in the UK, that is the best thing thing, really, because then you've got somebody who can actually take you through your menopause journey as you go through it.
I'm really glad you brought up the Pepe app, actually, because I wanted to move on to that, Kathy. You're Director of Menopause Services for the Pepe app, aren't you? Could you tell us a little bit more about that? Because actually, it's a fantastic tool for women to use if they want to find out a little bit more or ask some more questions.
Yeah, so Pepe's available through employers. That's the first thing. So it's provided free to women by their employers. So you do need to be partnered with an employer who provides it. And lots do now in the UK. So what that means is that you then link up through the digital app with a practitioner. So, for example, with me or with one of my team, and immediately you have one-to-one personal advice about your menopause. So you can message them whenever you like, Monday to Friday, 9 till 9. The nurses are there to answer your questions. You can listen to a broadcast if you want about particular issues. So you might want to learn about sex and menopause. You might want to learn about HRT. You might want to learn about managing anxiety, for example. And then there's a library of resources. So I've directed the library of resources. So our content is all evidence-based, in line with NICE guidance. And anything that you learn or read or are told on the Pepe app is supported by NICE guidance. And for me, that's really important because I don't want to be giving out advice that's not accurate. So we will offer women advice about different supplements, HRT as well. And you can come back as often as you like and talk to us. That's what the Pepe app's all about.
That's an incredible resource, isn't it, to have? Because like we say, many women feel so lost at this time in their lives and they don't know where to turn. And there is so much misinformation out there, not just online, but in the papers on a daily basis. And actually, you know, how do you know what to trust and not trust? How do you know where your information, how do you know your evidence is in, your information is evidence-based? So having that access, and that's through certain employers, is it, Kathy?
Yes, a whole mix of employers. And you know, we're proud to be able to say that we have some very highly paid staff with employers who have Pepe, but also we have retail stores where the staff are even on a minimum wage and they can still access Pepe. So it is a really good resource. And just to tell you what people say, I mean, someone said to us, I've learned more in 2 weeks than I have in 2 years trying to get through my menopause. You know, somebody else said it's like really is the light at the end of the tunnel. You know, you really have opened up the opportunities for me. Somebody else said, my daughter said to me tonight that you've given me my mum back. Well, you know, what else can you ask? And time again, when we get these testimonials, and, you know, Claire, you'll know that you get good news stories as a doctor, and it's always lovely. But actually, your heart is still really warm when you hear these things, because that's what it's about at the end of the day. Is actually helping women to get back to normal. That's all it is. Let's just get back to normal life.
We shared something on social media today, Kathy, didn't we? Claire had dropped me a quick text, so we need to just debunk another myth. And I believe it was the myth, I'm trying to remember now. This is where my brain fog begins to set in, Kathy. It's always not very good. And it was around stopping HRT. And then if you stop HRT, you've got to go through the menopause again. And it's one of those classic myths, isn't it? And trying to, I think, just rectify that myth. You know, we talk about menopause being a taboo, but there are just as many myths around these concepts and ideas and thoughts, and you're not sure where women have read them or heard of them. And actually, we spend a lot of time just trying to break down these myths as well.
Yes, I think that one today was described as a second menopause, wasn't it? As if you were going to get a second menopause, whereas in fact, you know, the HRT doesn't just give you a second menopause. It doesn't just postpone the inevitable. And that's a real myth we need to put to bed.
I was saying to a colleague the other day, the more I learn about the menopause, and it is a constant as GPs and as a clinician yourself, Kathy, you know that you're never going to stop learning. You're always going to be on a journey of learning and learn more. And then sometimes you feel like you're never going to know enough. But actually, you realise the immense, I guess, powerful position we are in as clinicians, that is necessary to impart this knowledge, because the more we know, the more you understand how little women out there know and how important it is just to try and spread the word and know about this from an early age. You know, we're really good at talking about periods, starting your periods. We're pretty good about prenatal and postnatal care, but actually we're rubbish about perimenopause, and that, you know, is improving. But more often than not, I think I'm approached by women who just had no idea, and it's come as such a shock that they could be perimenopausal, particularly when we talk about myths and we talk about, you know, you can still be having your periods, but you could be perimenopausal, or you could still be, you might not have a hot flush or a night sweat, but you could still be perimenopausal. How, sort of from a clinical point of view, do you try and get that message across? I know you've written your book, which is amazing, and I know you kind of have a lot to do with seeing women in clinic, but you know, is there other things that we can all be doing? What can we be doing promoting?
Yes, I mean, I think we need to make it more of an everyday conversation, don't we? You know, it's a bit of a hidden topic. We need to be talking to our daughters about it, we need to be talking to our sons about it, we need to be talking to our partners, whether they're male or female, to talk about the menopause. And if we think about men, they do want to be involved in the discussions, and there's some interesting work actually that shows that whilst men may not understand the symptoms in quite the same way, because they're not necessarily going to go through it in the same way, they can definitely come alongside you and support you and be quite influential in the decision making that you have, because you trust your partner. So, you know, it's really useful there. And in workplaces, you know, anything that we put into place to support those going through the menopause will benefit everybody. You know, if a company puts in place flexible working or better air conditioning or anything to do with the menopause, you know, it will always benefit everyone. So, you know, it's a win-win situation. It's not just about doing it for the women. It's for doing it for everyone, doing it for humans.
It affects everyone, doesn't it? And actually, I've got a brilliant story from just before Christmas. I was delivering some Christmas cards with my youngest son, who is 9, actually. And we bumped into a friend, and she was telling us a story, something that had happened, and she stopped mid-sentence and had forgotten and what she was about to say. So the classic sign of brain fog. And my 9-year-old turned round, thankfully knows her quite well, and just said, "Oh, that's hilarious. You must have menopause brain like my mum." And you know, Claire and I have got 5 boys between us, and actually, just as you say, Kathy, we need to be talking about this to our daughters, to our partners. You know, it needs to be an everyday conversation to make it sound normal, because it is. It's a normal process all women are going to go through, and actually, particularly for boys and men, to have that conversation, for them to have that understanding, so they can support those in their workplace, they can support their partners, their mums, their aunts, their sisters, their daughters, and make this an everyday word or term and an acknowledgement. We'll take another short break there and listen to some messages from our sponsors.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
A for horses, B for mutton, C more cheeks, dig for victory, E bar gold.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better.
Marks and Spencer.
Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
T for two.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the Menopause Sisters Show for UK Health Radio. Today we are talking to Kathy Abernethy. So thank you, Kathy, for joining us and taking this time to share your wealth of knowledge. We were talking very much about benefits of different possibilities to help menopausal symptoms and particularly anxiety, but I also wanted to come on to your role as a teacher, actually, around menopause and as a guide. Because I know you do menopause courses as an educational initiative for nurses and for others. Could you tell us just a little bit more about that and who you do them and provide them for?
Yes, I mean, I've been described as a bit of a menopause fanatic, really, as far as education is concerned, because I believe that every contact you have as a person who might experience menopause, usually a woman, every contact you have in the NHS, that person should be aware of the menopause. So whether you're having your eyes tested, whether you're going to the dentist, whether you're in hospital, whether you're being looked after by a nurse, they should have some understanding of the menopause. And at the moment, that's not quite the case. We haven't got there yet, but we're getting there. We're working on it. But what I can do is educate those who are going to be giving specific menopause advice. So I run courses particularly for nurses. So that's oncology nurses, cancer nurses, primary care nurses, those who work in GP practices, sexual health nurses who work in the sexual health and family planning clinics, and occupational health nurses as well, so in workplaces. So my courses are aimed at nurses. We're all run by nurses. We're all British Menopause Society specialist nurses, practitioners, and we run those courses throughout the year. The British Menopause Society is slightly different. I was chair of the British Menopause Society for 2 years. They run multidisciplinary courses, so you can access those, whatever healthcare professional discipline that you are. And they have a wealth of materials. So if you are a healthcare practitioner listening here and you're not quite sure where to go, whatever degree of education you want, whether it's simple resources to download and read in your own time, or whether you want to go the full way and do the advanced menopause certificate, the BMS will have that for you.
And that's something, Claire, you have done as well, isn't it?
Yeah, so that's something that I undertook a few years ago and decided to try and, well, partly because obviously I was so interested in post-reproductive health and we could do so much better at it. And Kathy, you mentioned there sort of the courses and study days. What sort of things, I mean, I guess you're teaching about the menopause, but what sort of things do you encompass in those training days? What do you talk about?
Well, we start with the basics of what is the menopause, physiologically, what's happening. And you'd be surprised sometimes how healthcare professionals have forgotten their basic physiology, why the menopause even occurs. So we go over that. We remind ourselves of that. Then we think about the impact that menopause can have. So we go through all the different types of symptoms that people might experience, including the obvious ones like flushes and sweats, but then the less obvious like anxiety, low mood, tearfulness, irritability, etc. And we think about the way that they may present. So if you have somebody presenting to you in a surgery, whether you're a nurse or a GP, how might that person present to you? Because they may not always, well, in fact, they're very unlikely to come in and say, "I've got menopause." You know, they're going to come in and they're going to be tearful, or they're going to appear depressed when they may not be depressed. So outwardly, what are they presenting? But actually, as a healthcare professional, how do you assess that as being menopause? We also teach about ruling out what we call red flags, you know, those things which may mean that there's something else wrong with you. So we talk to nurses and doctors about recognizing other conditions that might be mislabeled as menopause. And then finally, we think about what are the treatment options? And that varies from over-the-counter products, therapeutic approaches, including things like acupuncture, over-the-counter supplements, cognitive behavioral therapy, dietary changes, lifestyle changes, exercise, all those things that you can do for yourself without any medical intervention at all. And then we do quite a lot on HRT, because it's really important that if somebody presents at a healthcare professional to find out about treatment options, please make sure that they get good HRT advice. You know, they need to be there and able to make the choices that are right for them. And that includes understanding the ways that HRT are given.
Yeah. And actually, we, Caroline and I, have spoken before about how to get that advice from your surgery, particularly here in the UK. If you're in the UK, you know, asking about if there's a menopause specialist or somebody within your practice that is more clued up on the menopause and trying to book in with them, and being aware that you might need multiple appointments. You might need more than one appointment to cover everything, but just finding out if there's someone in that surgery that you could go to, because that's key, isn't it? Is having the continuity of care so that you feel confident in whoever you're seeing.
Definitely. And certainly on the PEPI app, we have a whole article about getting the best from your GP consultation, because if you're well prepared and you start to understand that sometimes your opening sentence directs the GP in the direction that consultation goes. So if you even just only prepare your opening sentence, you know, the consultation will go in the direction that you want. So being prepared for the consultation, knowing why you're there. Are you there just to get information? Are you there because you want a diagnosis, or are you there because you want treatment? You know, help your GP, help to guide it the way that you want to go. If you've done loads of research around any of the supplements or HRT, then tell them that that's what you've done, so that they can understand where you're sitting in terms of research. If you've done none at all, be honest and say, "I don't know anything about this," and be prepared to be directed to some good evidence-based resources that you can go away and have a look at. And sometimes it also means thinking beforehand about the options that you are open to. So are you open to HRT? Are you really looking for supplement type advice? And again, you're not going to get very long with your GP, but it can be really fruitful consultation if you just prepare for it well.
And you mentioned nurses earlier. Obviously, you do a lot of training with nurses, but I always like to highlight that sometimes the nurses are the ones to start with, you know, and even speak to. And I've got wonderful practice nurses at my surgery here in Edinburgh, and they're just a wealth of information. And each time I was going in just for other things, and then they'd write down a website for me to check out around perimenopause and menopause. And so actually sometimes even speaking to a nurse to begin with can be really helpful, can't it?
It certainly can. And I spend a lot of time encouraging nurses, particularly practice nurses, to pick up on the cues for those people who are dropping in hints about menopause, but not actually brave enough to talk about it, because they can be lifesavers.
And I think it's really interesting, isn't it, that I had a conversation with a woman the other day who said to me, oh, I didn't want to bother you. I didn't want to take up your time. And breaking down that barrier of you're not bothering me, actually, this is important. This is a conversation that needs to happen. And that kind of barrier is really important to break down for women, not to feel that they're bothering somebody and not to feel like they're a burden. Actually, if this is worrying you, even having that 10-minute phone consultation doesn't necessarily need to be a face-to-face, but having that start, beginning those conversations so that it can carry on, is really important. I'd say really put your health first, really stop worrying about what your GP might be thinking or your healthcare provider might be thinking, and put yourself first. We're there for you, not the other way around.
Yes, and you've highlighted another point there, actually, which has really come to the fore during the COVID generation, if you like, you know, the last 18 months, 2 years, which is I've seen a lot of people postponing asking for advice because they're so concerned that, you know, we see everything in the media about how busy GPs are, and we don't want to be the one to be bothersome. But actually, your health is as important as theirs. So do make time for those appointments, as you say, because GPs are still there. Of course they are. They will still see you through, you know, through remote consultations. Mm-hmm. And I'm really reassured. I switched to telephone consultations very early in the COVID crisis, and it's hugely effective. Hugely effective. So don't be put off if you're offered a telephone consultation rather than a face-to-face.
Kathy, we're going to have to begin to wind up our conversation, actually. And I think we've already talked to you for a lot longer. But we like to sort of finish with perhaps some top tips or some advice. And I'm just wondering if there's anything specifically you would draw women to or bring attention to, or anything that you would like to share with our listeners.
I guess my top tips are always to know your choices, know your options. So don't feel that there are no options, because when you're going through this time, you sometimes feel as if you're on this spiral of despair and there's nowhere to go. And I would say don't allow that to take over, because there are always choices. And in menopause, there's loads of choices, you know, whether you're going to use lifestyle changes, supplements or HRT or a whole combination of all of them. So get to know your choices and make the choices that are right for you. Sometimes with the help of a practitioner if you need it.
Thank you so much, Kathy. And actually, a lot of information will be found on reputable websites. So trying not to Google, I think, is often error is maybe a harsh word, but often, you know, you go down a rabbit hole and find this kind of misinformation. So are there any websites you would recommend or direct women to?
Yeah, so if you're a healthcare professional, I direct you to the British Menopause Society website. If you're a person who's going to go through menopause, usually a woman, then I'd go to menopausematters.co.uk. And if you're one in the 100 women who goes into menopause under 40, then I suggest you look at the daisynetwork.org.
Thank you so much for joining us and taking some time out of your schedule to chat around anxiety and the many elements of perimenopause and menopause.